Hey everyone, in this episode of the Productivity Podcast, I'm talking to Francesco D'Alessio all about task management apps.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, the show that gets you where you want to be fast. Smash your goals and achieve more with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and become a Jedi Master of Productivity. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hello and welcome to the Productivity Podcast. I'm Paul Miners and thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. It is a pleasure to have you listening to the show. Now, in today's episode, I am joined by Francesco D'Alessio, and together we're talking all about task management apps. Now, Francesco is a productivity YouTuber who makes tons of great videos all about how to get the most out of these apps. And today we're going to cover a lot of details. We're going to cover lots of different types of apps. So be sure to head on over to paulminers.com/11 after this show, where you can get access to all of the show notes and links to the different apps that we're going to talk about. So without further ado, let's get into today's chat with Francesco D'Alessio. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Productivity Podcast. I'm Paul, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's episode. And today I'm joined by Francesco D'Alessio, who is from the UK. And Francesco is a productivity YouTuber. And if you haven't come across Francesco before, he makes awesome videos about productivity, and he pretty much knows everything there is to know about most productivity apps out there. I'm constantly blown away by the videos and how much he's able to talk about these apps. He really does go into some awesome detail and provide great value in terms of just helping us to work out which apps to use and what features are best and things like that. So Francesco, thank you very much for jumping on the call today.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul. I'm looking forward to chatting to you about all these kind of apps and all these things out there, because there's lots of stuff and it's just looking at you. So I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, hey, why don't we kick off with, if you could introduce yourself. I mean, I know I've just scratched the surface in terms of covering things that you do. I know you're involved in a lot of other things as well. So maybe could you just start by giving us a bit of background about yourself and what you're currently working on?
Yeah, of course. So at the moment, I'm based in the Birmingham in the UK. And I'm working as a marketing manager for a language learning company, Flashdix. But in my spare time, what I do is, previously as well, because I'm a student still in my third year of university, I'm doing my placement year, but what I do in my spare time is try and teach productivity in terms of the tools and techniques as much as I can, the stuff I know already, in the most simple and effective way possible. Because I think at the moment, productivity is very much an open map, and kind of, it needs to be kind of taught in a much more modern style, like myself and you are. So that's my kind of mission at the moment. I've been able to start a couple of businesses, three, mainly in the education sector, and I've had some real good fun doing them. I'm kind of just a slightly above average student that is just working at a kind of a slightly different level to a lot of other people. And that's just through productivity and slight motivation. Probably like yourself, Paul.
I love how you described that. You're a slightly above average student. That's awesome. I'm sure you're being very modest.
I'm just not watching Netflix.
Oh, really? Okay, that's actually that makes you, I'm sure, significantly above average if you're not watching Netflix. Well, okay, so I mean, with these things that you've got going on, so you're still studying, right? Or you've just finished?
I'm literally just doing, it's called a placement year, so you just do a year of work. So I'm doing, I've done 2 years of uni, and then 1 year placement, and then final year of university to go back to.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to clear that up. So, I mean, with the things that you've got going on, so you're doing your placement now, and you're doing all this stuff on the side. You've got your YouTube channel that you're running and managing and producing content as well. How do you kind of balance up these different commitments and projects that you've got going on, like in terms of scheduling your time and making sure you're making enough time for these different things? What kind of process do you use for sort of breaking up that time and allocating enough time to each thing?
Yeah, so when I was like, I think I was must have been about 15, 16 years old, I failed one of my years in sixth form, which is like the equivalent to high school in America. And I basically kind of went back to the drawing board with stuff and just kind of read this book called GTD, very popular book in the productivity area. It's called Get It, Just Getting Things Done, stands for, by a guy called David Allen. I mean, I don't follow all of the rules like he does, but almost the kind of premise and structure of the way that he processes information as it comes in was a kind of real motivated to go in real life situations. So I started applying the rules, and I came out with a lot of really effective results that I was actually doing a lot more than other people. So that's where that came from. But at the moment, I'd say the way that I organize myself is simply just using tools, the technique of GTD, and applying it to the modern approach, because obviously there's lots of information coming through, applying it to tools that I can use on my phone, that I can use on my computer, and that are cross-platform, that are really effective to use. So what I'm doing is I'm just applying the major theories of productivity out there and just putting them into practice with the tools and the execution process of actually using those tools then to put it into real life examples.
Okay, so I mean, for those people listening who perhaps aren't as familiar with GTD as yourself, what kind of principles or techniques, specific techniques, are you using? So I know, I mean, GTD, it starts with capturing everything in one place, and then you've got these different kind of paths that you can take a task down depending on how important it is. So what kind of specific techniques do you find yourself applying most with in terms of GTD?
I think that obviously the start, as you just said, capture, collect, is probably the key part of GTD. I think that collecting things is so valuable, and the fact that not many people actually do it in their day is quite scary, because there's so much information coming through. And as in GTD, they suggest an open loop, which is something that's uncompleted. It can be really powerful when you start collecting them. So in that process, I think the most time I spend when it comes to a task is actually the collecting of it, and then the processing of what actually means. So there's obviously five steps to it, but those two core steps are the ones that I spend most of my time on.
And so in terms of apps and tools that we can use, what are your main kind of tools for collecting things then?
So at the moment, the problem with what I do is that I actually review a lot of productivity apps at one given time. So I'm always having to like test so many apps at a time. I think I'm always having like 10 to 15 apps being used at the same time to try and like test the abilities of each app, and then obviously recommend, how do you say it? Like the ingredients to people. So if they've got a certain set of rules that they have, then almost choosing and finding the right one for the right person, because obviously I think that you need to trust in your collection tool, and if you can get exactly the right one that suits your scenario, then it's perfect. So at the moment, what I use to collect anything is Todoist. So Todoist is like a really, really easy but really functional application. And what's great about it is it's available on a hell of a lot of devices. It's available on Android, iOS, iPad, web, Chromebook. You know, there's a lot of places to get it. And I think that's one of the core things about a collection tool. You need to have it in lots of different places. So at the moment, that's my collection tool. And then I have a few others that obviously work around that inside the GTD process.
Okay, so, I mean, could we go through it maybe? So if you've got stuff that, some work that comes in, maybe someone emails you and it's, hey, Francesco, can you look at doing this? Or maybe you just yourself think of a task that needs to be completed. So you're adding it into Todoist, and that's your main, that's where you start to collect everything. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of labels or filters that you use to then categorize different tasks? Or what does the process look like? How do you triage that task once it's been captured?
Mm-hmm. So what usually happens is when I get something through, an item, that is like unprocessed, it's just coming rawly, like, can you do this? What I'll do is I'll tend to, if it's a ton of items, like 10 of them in a row, what I'll do is I'll get a physical bit of paper or a notebook that I have, and I'll write down them in the kind of real raw action form. So create this for this. So very definitive in what they actually are, like, you know, numbers and being very selective. And then if, you know, if it's only just one item, going back to that, what I'll do is I'll just simply go over to todoist.com, create that, and then add whatever label's relevant to it. So I add three types of labels. Energy level, so what energy level I actually need to complete this task. What context, so what do I actually need to complete the task with? So with it, is it a smartphone, or is it a Chromebook that I have, or is it a book that I need to use? And then finally, how long it will actually take, so 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And then obviously with that being over-judging with what each one is. So if it's a 10-minute task, putting 50 will keep that kind of safe boundary. So that's what I do when I get a task in, and then simply that adding a due date to that and then a priority level will allow it to go wherever you want it in your system.
Right, okay, and so I'm just making some notes here. You've got energy level, context, and then like an estimate of how long you think it's going to take. So when I just a quick question, I suppose, and you'll do this with even like really small tasks as well?
Yeah, I mean, like, so the GTD process suggests that anything that comes through that you can complete in 2 minutes or less, do it straight away, if you've got the time, of course. If you don't have the time, then defer it. Put it on your task manager. So, for example, if someone came in and it was an email and you just had to send over a PDF, then obviously that's going to take 2 minutes. You're going to, you know, you've already got 2 minutes available, so you just do it straight away. If it requires you to actually go away for more than 2 minutes and do it, then definitely leave it if you're not going to process it at that given time. So if you're not going to go in and actually work out what I need to do and actually upload it to your Todoist, then don't touch it. Just leave it in your inbox. But if you have time to process the meaning of the information and then archive the email so that it's out of the system, but you've got the actions and tasks to do, then that's probably the best way to, route to go around.
Right, okay. And so when you're triaging these tasks and you're adding these labels then, and I'm referring to these things that you haven't done in 2 minutes, you're deferring them to later. So with these contexts, the energy levels, being able to apply these kind of filters to your tasks, I'm sure plays a big part in terms of you choosing the app you're going to use. I mean, it sounds like you're pretty committed to Todoist, but when you're kind of evaluating other apps, I'm sure that's something that you look for then, is the ability to kind of categorize tasks in these ways.
Yeah, I think that comes under the ability, the functionality of the app. So how deep the app actually goes into what you can do with it. Because, I mean, what's perfect about that kind of system is if I'm on the train home, what I can do with a filter is press a button and I can work out what tasks I've got, I can do with my smartphone in 10 minutes and I have relatively low energy levels. So that's what the benefit of that is. And if a task manager can actually allow you to do something like that, that has a strong level of functionality, then it's a good task management app. So whenever I'm reviewing stuff, I'm always like prowling in every part of the app to try and find what value it can add to you in terms of going a lot deeper on a task. Because I think being able to add a task and then allowing you to go a step deeper with the context, the relevancy, and then being able to actually apply it later on, I think you can get some real value from that because it actually saves you time in the long run.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And actually, I love that example that you gave, which is like, if you're on the train, you can click a few filters and see, these are the things I can do in 10 minutes, because I don't have long, on my phone, because that's all I have, and I've got 3G or 4G. And it's low energy, because it's the end of the day. That's really clever. And I think, you like sum up the features perfectly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, sorry, just to add on that one, it's not only just like tasks and doing work. You can even apply it to things like, you know, like listening to a podcast, like, you know.
Totally, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, because some people don't, you know, when they're on the way home, they don't get reminded, oh, I can listen to that podcast. But, you know, if you had a filter like that, you could go, oh, wow, Oh yeah, I can throw that one in.
Well, actually, that's an interesting point, and just to kind of go on off on a slight tangent, it's we see smartphones now becoming smarter and smarter at trying to recommend what we should be doing at the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, we can see coming up in iOS 9 on the Apple devices, Apple's going to be suggesting, oh, hey, it's the morning. You usually listen to your podcast in the morning when you go for a run, or maybe, yeah, you're going for a run. Here's the running app. You should open this app. And so they're actually going to suggest apps to use ahead of time. So it'll be interesting to see how kind of devices get smarter at preempting what we're going to do. So you almost don't need to remind yourself to do something. The phone will just tell you, oh, hey, Francesco, yeah. I can see you're getting on the train. Here's your podcast, you know? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's it. That's actually quite interesting because I've downloaded iOS 9 beta 1 and I think I plugged my headphones in the morning and it recommended like Jeff Sanders, 5 a.m. Work at Miracle, is it? And I was like, whoa, I know that I listened to it at that time.
That's so creepy. Clever.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so moving on then. So, I mean, you review and you test out a lot of different task management apps. I mean, and to list off a few, I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to list off far more than me, but we've got things like Todoist, we've got Asana, Wunderlist, the others escape me, I suppose, like Apple Reminders, basic ones. Could you maybe run us through the top task management apps that you have used and maybe outline the one or two key features of each and maybe who it's best suited to? So maybe Todoist is better suited to someone who's kind of doing more project work, and maybe something like Swipes is better for just a lightweight reminder. Could you maybe list like your top couple of apps and maybe the best feature of each?
Yeah, of course. So in terms of task management, I'll start with Todoist. So Todoist, I really recommend for anyone I recommend it for anyone like that's looking for something that could potentially grow into something. Like, so for example, if you went in, you almost were reading GTD at the same time that you were starting your productivity journey or your personal development journey, and you wanted to grow with your task management app. So for example, you know, you're reading GTD throughout, or you're actually learning about personal development, and your level of tasks improve, or you want more functionality, I definitely recommend it really for anyone that is looking to grow with their task management app, because I think it's one of those sort of ones. I think the intelligent input, like being, so what you can do in Todoist is literally just write, okay, so if I said, I'll feed the cat tomorrow at 6, and what it will do is it will take that bit of information and put it straight in your timeline of your tasks. And that's perfect because you don't even have to like add any more context if you're in a rush. And that extracts all the information very intelligently, which is really cool. Next one would be Swipes. So Swipes app is basically I would call it a creative designer / entrepreneurial app. So it's a standalone app that allows you to add tasks. And what the core feature of it is a lot of these are the same as you'll see in my videos. But what this one does differently is it allows you to schedule tasks, and they pop up exactly when you want them to. So they'll be hidden for like, say for example, if I schedule one now for 7 o'clock, which is 20 minutes away, it will hide it in my stream. And then when it's 7 o'clock, it will pop up, which is quite a nice feature because you don't have to be kind of stressed out about seeing your long task list and then panic. So, and then the next one, I'm just trying to spurt these out, OmniFocus. So OmniFocus is basically an app that is very hardcore GTD. It's £29.99 on the App Store. So if you're looking for a very strong investment in a task management app, then this will be the one. But basically, it has really strong functionality around being able to add as much context as possible to a task. But also, like a really, so for example, in GTD, there's things called reviews, forecasts, where you get to overview certain tasks and if they've been deferred and if they've been due and things like that. So this really allows you to go a little deeper on all of your tasks. But something that I wouldn't recommend to anyone that's just going in there to do task management. Next one is Gneo, so Gneo. And basically, this is a really interesting one because I found it about 2 months ago, and then they contacted me and I was like, you know, let me try this one out. And they sent me a review pack. It's actually really interesting. It's very similar to Todoist, but it has this ability to allow you to see different panels of your life. So what you can do is add the level of urgency and importance, but then get a grid on which ones you need to be focusing on at a given time. So that's really cool. And it's more kind of like goal focused versus having to just go through task lists. So that's really useful, that one. Next one, To-Do. So To-Do is an interesting one. Hopefully we'll be reviewing it soon, possibly, but I've been trying it out. And it's very much focused on GTD2, but it's trying to fit a lot of what the tasks you have into like a one pager, so that you don't leave that like one screen. A lot of other task management's trying to keep you on different screens for different projects, for different lists and things like that. But this one tries to keep you on one page, which is quite nice. And it keeps you kind of sane with things like that. I would say the next one is probably, I mean, I'm trying not to order these in a specific manner, but Meistertask. So Meistertask is a brand new one from the team at MindMeister. It allows you to essentially, what you can do is just chuck tasks on there, but it approaches in a Kanban system. So a Kanban system is basically where you can go through the process of completing a task. So from the moment you get it to in progress, to actioning, to done, and then being able to see that whole process and almost dragging it across a page. So that kind of goes on that premise, and I'd recommend it to anyone really in teams doing project management. Asana is a very popular one out there. I've kind of explored Asana, but I think it's very much a team app. Nothing really. I think you can use it as a personal development app, and I know, Paul, you probably can add a little more context on this one, because I don't use it as much as possible, but it's very much a team app. Am I right in saying that you do use it on your own?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I use different apps for different contexts, really. So, like, I mainly use Asana, or actually, no, not even mainly. I started to use Asana at work, and I transitioned our entire company over to using Asana, which was a big deal because we'd tried a couple of project management tools in the past, and none of them really stuck. But we tried Asana, and people loved it. So, yeah, it is great if you're working in teams because you've got all the communication can happen right there inside the tasks, and you can send less email to one another. And because you're communicating right underneath tasks, we find that decisions get made quicker, and we're much more concise with how we communicate. So yeah, it is great for teams, and I use it at work, but I do use it for planning my website and creating products and all my editorial content. So all of that as well. So I have an editorial calendar project, and then I have like a website project, and then a products project. And so I actually plan a lot of my work in there, and I just like the level of detail that you can go into. So you can have your different sections for categorizing different tasks, and then the tasks themselves, and then you can add subtasks to each of those and add all the attachments that you need. And actually, even though I use it on my own for that stuff, I still use the comments. Like, I will just like comment with an idea of like, if it's a blog post, for example, I'll put a comment in with, oh, check out this link for inspiration, or remember to discuss this, or I'll drag in like images and attachments of useful things that I might use. So it's definitely designed for teams, but I think individuals as well can get a huge amount of use from it, and it certainly doesn't require you to be part of a team to get value from it. Yeah
definitely. I started using it a while ago as a personal kind of development tool, and I really like how serious amounts of depth you can add to a specific thing. So it's really, really useful for that. And I mean, definitely, I would recommend it to anyone looking to do lots of different projects on their own.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and the other thing I like as well is that you talked previously about, I can't remember which app it was. Maybe it was, was Genio or so? I can't remember which one gave you the like the unified view of everything.
I think Jed. Do you mean the one pager type style?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so like. Oh, sorry, to do. So you can, in Asana, you can either go into the individual projects that you're working on. So like I was doing my Sunday review last night and I jumped into my editorial calendar project and I'm able to look at, okay, what does my calendar look like for the next few weeks? When am I going to publish different posts? And so I can see just what's coming up for that project. And then what I'll do as well is in just my tasks. So the my tasks view is like a summary of everything that you've got going on across all of your projects. So I can jump into there and look at the calendar in there and see everything I'm doing, not just the editorial stuff, but stuff on my website and products and things as well. So you can choose to look at what's coming up just based on project, or you can look at what's coming up for everything that you've got going on. So you can kind of pick and choose what view you want to look at, which I really like. Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's so many good ones out there, and I'll probably just wrap it up with three other mentions.
Go for it.
There's AnyDo. So that's any.do, and that works with another calendar app. And I would say that's a really like almost it's for everyone, but like, just very open, white space, kind of go in, and it's very much just chuck things there. And then what you can do, the one feature that's great, is you can go through and process all of the tasks that are inside your inbox in like a really fast way. So you could do it on the way home and quickly nip through them, work out which ones are done and which ones are gone. The next one's Wunderlist. And Wunderlist is a really, like, Microsoft bought it recently. And it's very much a really open, social. So it feels very social because they really encourage sharing of the lists. And it's a very playful. It's almost very playful in the way that it's designed as well, type of task management. So I recommend it really for anyone entry level, kind of just want to go in and have fun with it. And then finally, Google have Google Keep. And that works quite well, but again, very similar to iOS Notes, like it's the native one if you've got Android. So you can kind of go with it or not, but it doesn't really have a great deal of functionality.
Okay, so wow, we've got like a huge list now. sorry, Keep was the last one, wasn't it? I'm just keeping a little list. So that's a huge list. So, I mean, I'm kind of a believer that, and this is something I believe Mike Vardy said, I heard from him initially, was that, and I'm sure you'll agree as well, is that like the tools that you choose to use, yes, they're important, but we shouldn't worry too much about them. What is more important is that we are following the correct principles and techniques for staying organized. So whether you're following GTD or some other method, it's about, capturing and collecting everything in one place and then using some sort of process to triage your tasks and identify what you need to be doing next based on where you are and what you're doing. So with that in mind, I mean, how do you, well, with that said, so obviously the techniques are really important and tools can somewhat be kind of pushed to the back, but I still feel it's important to pick the tools that work well for you. So with those things in mind, how do you kind of recommend apps to people or if somebody is trying to work out which app do I use, you know, there's this huge list here that Francesco has just outlined, which one should I check out first or which one do I give a go? Like, how do you recommend we kind of evaluate apps for ourselves and work out which one's best for us?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, a lot of the time, the actual doing part of things is the most important thing. And again, like, all I'm trying to do at the moment is trying to make it as simple as possible for people to go in, choose the app they like, and then almost walk out, almost like you do in a shop with a pair of shoes. So what the things you have to look out for when it comes to actually reviewing a task management system, because you have to be really rigorous with it, because there are ones out there that do stuff great, but ones out there that you need to almost check out, because there's almost like a division between really low level productivity apps and really strong level productivity app. And you can tell the difference with the following. So you need to check out the reliability of the app first. You need to be able to trust it. And you need to be able to go, okay, I'm confident that this app hasn't died or crashed in the last 6 months. And maybe that the team have got enough money to continue working on the project. Because if you're investing in your time uploading all your open loops and it dies or crashes one day, it's going to be a sad tale. I mean, it won't be the end of the world, but something that it will take a lot longer to kind of try and replicate. Cross-platform, you need to be able to check that, you know, it works on your web, it works on your phone, it works kind of everywhere so that you can have the best experience. I would say the next one is probably offline access too. So being able to make sure that if you've got no Wi-Fi, then you can still upload things, you can still engage with the application in the same way you do online, maybe not obviously the syncing systems. Then there's speed, so being able to actually have a task management that's really functional. And then going on to that functional application, so being able to actually have the tools inside it to add the context and information of a specific task so that you can go a little deeper. So yeah, I mean, if it's got, and I wrote a blog post on this, if it's got a really strong set of tools, confidence, and has the ability to hold itself well, a good example is Evernote. I mean, they've grown in such a big company. Todoist are growing into a big company. And investing your time in those sort of apps that really do have a future in the marketplace is probably the way forward when it comes to organizing everything that you have.
Okay, so that's a really good list. And definitely when I think about the apps that I use, they definitely tick off a lot of these criteria that you've outlined. And so that's really good. One of the other things that I think is super important is just the design of an app. Like, it has to be nice. Like, if it's not nice to look at and nice to use and simple and easy to use, obviously, and I suppose that's kind of the functional part that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But visually, if it's not like a beautiful app, like, I'm going to spend less time in it, and it's not going to really motivate me to use it as much if it's like this ugly, clunky app. Even if it's really functional, if it just doesn't look as nice, I'm far less likely to use it. So I find the design is often is another one of those kind of key criteria that I personally look for as well.
Definitely, I totally agree with you there. I actually did two reviews today, and one of the things was actually just color. Like, if there's more color there, there's more chance of you like being engaged with it. I mean, I think there's swipes out there. Has this, so whenever you complete a task, what it'll do is if you've got sound on, which most people do when they just on their phone generally, it dings. It has this really cute little ding, and it makes the whole experience like so much more interactive and fun. So it's good design prosthetic. Sorry. And then on top of it, like, really playful imagery and flow and UI. And I think also that's very, very important. I think as well, like, Todoist have been able to, I mean, Evernote as well, have been able to add emoji in the last, like, 2 months, which is insane. Like, that makes the whole experience so much greater.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good point. You got to have the emojis in there to add the, you know, get those reactions in that you want to add in.
Definitely.
So you've touched on Evernote a couple of times. I wonder, could you maybe give us a couple of, actually, for those of you who, I'm sure most people have heard of Evernote by now, but for those who haven't, so Evernote is one of the world's favorite productivity apps, and it is a note-taking service. But more than that, it's like a note-taking service on steroids. So you can categorize your notes into notebooks, and you can tag them all. So it has all these different ways that you can organize your notes. And then in terms of what you put in there, you can create checklists with checkboxes. You can drop in images, links, tie different notes together, add audio recordings as well. So there's really not very many limits to what you can do inside Evernote, and it's a great app to use. But I understand that for a lot of people, it can be somewhat tricky to get started with, because it's kind of this blank canvas, and people are like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do first? And I do find that the more you put in, the more you get out. So Francesco, I wonder if you could give us a couple of your top tips for getting started with Evernote, what people should, maybe the first couple of steps they should take, and then for any pro users out there, what kind of advanced tips and features that you kind of recommend?
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I use Evernote so much, and it is very true what you say. Putting in lots of stuff to Evernote really does add a load of functionality back to you. So for kind of basic users, I would say when you get the app, start organizing your notebooks, right? And what a lot of people do is they kind of make loose notebooks around different areas. But what I suggest, I mean, you don't have to take this on, but Evernote have been able to kind of, like, they support this kind of process that I do by sharing it on Twitter, which is really nice of them. It's basically breaking all of your areas into stacks. And maybe this will be the three tips in one for when you're starting out, because it's quite a long process. But what you do is you break it into four different stacks. And stacks are basically loads of notebooks in one. So it's almost like a folder for your notebooks. So break them into four stacks, number one being projects, number two being areas, number three being resources, number four being archive. What you put in your projects is anything that's going to happen or what you're working on in the next 1 to 12 months. So you've got all of those projects there. Number two, in your areas section, you put anything you're working on that is between 1 to 3 years in terms of lifespan. Number three is basically a resources area where you put things you'll come to and things you'll need at specific times. So it could be like a template or a bit of information about something, or I don't know, there's lots of different things like finance information, health information, email templates, headers, you know, like maybe even your profile photos on your social networks, so resources that you're going to come to. And then finally, number four, your archives, where basically all of your projects and areas come to die and they go and live in there because they're still potentially relevant in the future. It's almost like just, and it's almost like your email, like you'll end up finding an email that was long time that you archived a long time ago, but might be relevant to a situation that you're trying to sort out. So that's how I would break it down for anyone coming in, because a lot of people just make kind of really loose notebooks and then kind of get scared and freak out and leave Evernote. But this kind of helps you structure where your notebooks go.
Okay, so before you move on with some any more tips that you've got, so as examples then, so you've got projects that are your 1 to 2 month things that you're going to work on. So an example of that might be something like...
So at the moment what I've got in my projects is my YouTube videos, because I don't know whether the viability of the YouTube channel will last over a year. So that's almost a project for me. And then a couple of other ones are placement year. So I've got my placement year, which is only a year, but I need to store some information in there that's relevant to that. And then also the house I'm living in, I'm only living in it for the next 10 months. So I need to be able to store the information in there. So they're all projects that I can kind of monitor. In areas, there's things that are kind of consistent to 1 to 3 years. So actually, I'm going to have a quick peek because I regularly update them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like, could an area almost be something like health? It's like it's not going to end, is it? Health, and so you might help. Like maybe you have a recipe of a nice healthy recipe you like, or you have like a workout routine that you've listed, or some videos that you. I mean, that might be something in areas.
Yeah. So in my areas, I've got fitness, the company I work at because I'll be there over a year, personal development, and then a couple of other companies that I'm engaged with that I know that will be over a year, but potentially under 3 years.
Okay, cool. Right. Okay, I'm clear with you now. So projects, areas, and then resources. Yeah, I do something similar. I have a reference stack, and then I subcategorize reference into like productivity and business for the different articles and things.
For the absolute beginner, it's a fairly nice way to structure things, and then obviously you can break away into your own things when you become that pro.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really great way of breaking up your notebooks, and I definitely think that getting the notebooks clear from the get-go is really important, and making them mutually exclusive as well. So when you create a note, there's no confusion over which notebook you're actually going to add it to. I think making sure they are separate is really important.
Definitely.
And so any kind of pro tips for the pro users out there?
Well, for the pro users, I'm sure they probably explored a lot of the different areas of Evernote. But one thing that I consistently use on a daily basis is not the web clipper as much, but the actual email system. So what you can do is if you go over into settings on your Evernote account and scroll down to Evernote email address, you have a specific custom-made Evernote email address. If you, on your iPhone or Android, save it as a contact. Every time you've got an email in that you know you can come back to later, or you know, any bit of information that's in your daily routine, it might even be a tweet, anything. What you can do is you can email it to that Evernote email address. It will come into your inbox on Evernote, and you can set your inbox by going to the settings and choosing the default inbox as a notebook you call inbox that's separate from your four stacks. So that's really useful, that ability to email in stuff. And it keeps all of the attachments, it keeps all of the images, and makes it look really great. So that would be my top tip, making use of the email address.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really good feature. And actually, it's nice that more and more apps use that feature now. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Evernote was definitely one of the earliest apps to introduce that feature. And now we see apps like Asana and even Pocket. I think Pocket is really good one that does that now, all kind of using this email to my account feature, which is really useful.
Yeah, of course. It's still really relevant, even though obviously we're moving from emails away from that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, hey, Francesco, we're wrapping up, getting towards the end now. I can see the time ticking away. So if you could give us any kind of final words of wisdom before you go, and maybe share a link or a URL, where can people go to learn more about you? That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on the show, Paul. I really appreciate it. One kind of tip for everyone out there, I mean, if you're entry-level kind of productivity, you're just joining into this kind of area, I'd really recommend just having anything on you, whether it's a notebook, anything like that, across your day that you're going to collect your items. I would definitely recommend, as a kind of, I keep my mind open to all productivity apps. As I said, I review tons every day. So I would definitely download something like Todoist, Swipes, or Wunderlist, and literally get started just throwing stuff in. And as you progress, being able to add those tags and information. But if you want to kind of watch some more YouTube videos and things like that, I really applaud you to join me over at www.francescodalessio.com. And I'm sure, because of my Italian heritage, Paul will include it in the comments, because that's hard to spell.
Absolutely, no, I definitely will. And actually, we should get in the link of, you wrote a blog post you mentioned about one of the apps, or I can't remember which one.
So what I'll be, what that is, it's called Task Manager. There's one for everyone. And what I'll be doing is I'll be keeping that one monthly to two weekly updated, so that everyone, there's always like a new task management app on there that people can go in and almost pick out, and kind of almost like a bit of evergreen content for people to jump in with.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely get that linked up as well. Francesco, thank you very much for coming onto the show. And it's been great to tap into your knowledge on all of these different apps and tools, because, I mean, that we are so kind of overwhelmed sometimes with, and very, I guess, like fortunate with the number of tools that we have available and that we can choose from. And I guess that's a new challenge these days, is being able to, you know, working out which ones to use. So thank you for shedding some light on which ones to check out and how they're all used. So no, that's really useful. And one more time, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great chatting.
Thank you very much, Paul. And thank you everyone else for watching. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Francesco D'Alessio. Be sure to head on over to paulminers.com/11, where you can get access to the show notes and all of the links to those different task management apps that we talked about. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love it if you could head on over to iTunes and click subscribe, and then you'll get all new episodes sent directly to your phone. And until next time, thank you very much for tuning into the Productivity Podcast. I'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, and have a productive day.